City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Coming back to see is right in front of you. You begin to wonder, could you find a better one compared to her? Now she's in question, and all at once the crowd begins to sing. Sometimes the hardest thing and the right thing are the same. Maybe you want her, maybe you need her, maybe you start to compare to someone out there.
And you're listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 335. I'm Amy Matheny, and I'm flying solo on this show, because co-hosts are very busy people. That's right. They have big lives, a lot of things going on. And was trying to connect with somebody today, and it just didn't happen. So you get just me, just little old me. However, I have a very exciting show today that I'm very happy to share with you. I am talking today about a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. And for those of you who listen to me on Lesbi Gay Radio know that I used to talk a lot about my spirituality and my sexuality quite a bit on that show. So much so that for a while, Reverend Greg Dell, who used to be the minister at Broadway United Methodist Church here in Boys Town, who was put on suspension by the United Methodist World Church for marrying two gay men back, this is in the late 90s. And it was big news around Boys Town at that time. You know, it was a church that was right across the street from the closet, always welcoming, rainbow flag, a congregation that includes a lot of GLBT people. And Reverend Greg Dell was really a champion for that movement. He was named an advocate person of the year around that time when he was suspended. He was on CNN. We had news cameras constantly in the church while I was attending that church. And at that time, I brought Greg on to Lesbi Gay Radio. Every week, we had Minister with a Message, where we talked about spirituality and sexuality, especially around a Judeo-Christian slant, because that's what's often used to attack and ridicule and roadblock a lot of gay civil rights laws being put into effect. And so it was really a mission of mine, and something that I haven't gotten to talk a ton about on the Queercast, because I talked about it weekly. So even though I talk about it probably once every few months here or so, it doesn't feel as consistent and ever present. And back at that time, back in early 2000s, early here in this decade, I met a woman, and she has come out with a film that was something that she was talking about way back then. Her name's Kai Dickens, and she has a new documentary that's going to be a part of the Reeling Chicago Gay and Lesbian Film Festival this fall. here this month. And it's also playing festivals around the U.S. It's been to the West Coast, the East Coast. It's heading to the South. And it is called Fish Out of Water. And Fish Out of Water. I'd call it Fish Out of Water. And it's really her perception of heading just straight head on to the Bible verses and the things about Christianity that are brought up as weapons against us as GLBT people. And it's a fantastic documentary. It will be the centerpiece documentary for the entire festival. And I hope many of you go out and see it. You don't have to be Christian or Judeo-Christian or, I mean, you don't even have to be gay to go to this film and like it. I mean, it's really a great film and an exploration in a very easy way, very palatable way. And funny and very sincere. So I am going to be talking with Kai about getting the film made. She has some really amazing people that came onto her team. And just what is she trying to tackle with this piece of film? So that's coming up in the show. Plus, Kirk and I have lots of news, so much more going on in the news, and the theater scene starting to heat up. So all of that. But I do want to talk about, you know, my entertainment and my entertainment Bible, speaking of the Bible, Entertainment Weekly, has a great section in it every week, and it's called The Bullseye. And it's in the back of the paper, and they always are talking about just kind of what's being talked about and how they feel about it. Some things will be way out on the outer edges of the bullseye if they're not very excited that it's being talked about. And then whatever hits right in the middle is something they think is getting a lot of attention and should be getting a lot of attention. And right in the middle is, it says, NBC, watch Wanda Sykes' HBO special. That's the person you should put on the air at 10 p.m. every weeknight. And if you've not seen I'ma Be Me, which is her new HBO special, and I know HBO runs things often. It is so great, guys. I mean, what a great proponent Wanda Sykes has become for the GLBT community as an African-American member of the GLBT community. She's a mom now. Not only is she a mom, she's, you know, obviously being a mom, I guess not obviously, but she is in a committed relationship. And at the same time, she's got her same blue humor, really, really funny commentary on Obama being in the White House and just life with infants because, you know, she's up to her eyeballs in babies and poop. So it's really, really a great special. And I watched it last week and my partner and I watched it and we really laughed a lot. And I agree with them. Off the bullseye just a little bit more, still a pretty good shot, which means it's an interesting thing. It says, attention, potential first husbands and lesbians. Cherry Jones is back on the market, on screen and off. And Cherry Jones, famous Tony Award-winning lesbian actress who was with Sarah Paulson for 2 years, maybe three. You know, she was not at the Emmys, Sarah Paulson, which started people talking about whether or not Cherry Jones was single. And when Cherry Jones won her Emmy for 24, she plays the president on 24, the television series, she did not thank Sarah Paulson. Now, Sarah was doing a show, is doing a show in New York City on Broadway. And so, you know, some of us who keep our eyes on Cherry and Sarah, because I'm a huge Cherry Jones fan. She's a lesbian. She's an actress. She's a fabulous stage actress. And she's from Paris, Tennessee. So when I was in Memphis, Tennessee, Cherry and I decided to major in theater. Cherry was truly my idol in many, many ways. And I would go to New York to see her in Our Country's Good. I saw her do that. I saw her do the early gay AIDS play, The Baltimore Waltz, with Joe Mantello, who went on to direct Wicked and is an amazing director, but he was an actor actually in it at that time. And it's written by, it was a play by Paula Vogel, lesbian playwright Paula Vogel. So I've seen Cherry on stage quite a bit. Saw her in Doubt. She was the original Sister Aloysius in Doubt and went on tour with the show, luckily. So I got to see her here in Chicago at the Chicago Theater, and I got to have drinks with her afterward, which was super, super cool. I've interviewed her many times, and guys and gals, well, I guess just gals, she's on the market. So obviously the relationship has broken up, and Don't know a lot about it, but it's on the bullseye, so now I know it's true. It must be a dogma. So that's just a little of my gossip for the week. I'm really excited about this interview today. I hope all of you are having a great time. It's a beautiful sunny day today, and I'll take the weather this week in Chicago. It's suiting me well. So we're going to go to the news with Kirk, and we'll be back after this with Kai Dickens and Fish Out of Water.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great-tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. In California, Chief U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker refused to dismiss a lawsuit that challenges the anti-same-sex marriage initiative, Proposition 8. Walker had already said that a trial is necessary to resolve issues involving Prop 8's constitutionality. The judge also said that federal courts have not yet dealt with the laws that treat gays and heterosexuals differently.
President Barack Obama has nominated Minneapolis Assistant Chief of Police Sharon Lubinsky as the U.S. Marshal for the District of Minnesota. In the process, Lubinsky has become one of the first, if not the first, openly gay person to be nominated for the post. If confirmed, she would be the 13th female marshal in the history of the U.S.
The Mississippi chapter of the ACLU has taken up the case of a 17-year-old high school student, Ciara Sturgis, a lesbian whose photo, with her in a tuxedo, was excluded from the yearbook by school officials at Wesson Attendance Center. The ACLU chapter has sent a letter to Copiah County School District Superintendent stating that there is an issue involving the violation of Sturgis' constitutionally protected freedom of expression. Sturgis is a straight-A student who is on the soccer team and in band.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan, gay rights group One Kalamazoo has aired a 30-second ad supporting an anti-discrimination measure. City officials have approved a measure that makes it illegal to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity.
In world news, in England, Sami Mahmoud Salama has been sentenced to a minimum of 27 years in prison for fatally stabbing a gay man before taking his jewelry. Salama, 37, knifed Dilip Unadkat, 48, five times at the victim's home in November 2008. Salama claimed that Unadkat attempted to touch him sexually. However, the judge ruled that Salama went to the victim's home intending to kill and steal from him.
In Italy, a straight middle-aged couple has filed a lawsuit against a cruise line after being accidentally booked on the country's first ever gay cruise. The couple's attorney, Antonio Francesconi, has said that the suit does not stem from homophobia, but rather because there was lost satisfaction because no one had told them their holiday was at the same time as the gay cruise.
In Uganda, Ndorwa West MP David Bahati has proposed that legislators create a new crime of aggravated homosexuality that would be punishable by death. Under this proposed measure, called the Anti-Homosexuality Bill of 2009, those convicted of having same-sex relations with disabled people and individuals under 18 would face the death penalty. HIV-positive individuals who have sex with people of the same gender would also face the same fate.
And in entertainment news, singer Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's has filmed a video in support of same-sex marriage while asking for donations for Maine's No on One campaign. In the video, Carlisle says that she is not only a public figure, but she's a mother of a gay son, 17-year-old James Duke Mason. She says, "My son James is gay, and I want him and every other gay person out there to have the same opportunities and rights that I've had in life."
Stephen Moyer, who plays vampire Bill Compton on the TV series True Blood, has said that he'd like to have a sex scene with Eric Northman, the character played by Alexander Skarsgård. Moyer said, "Alex is a good friend of mine and a fantastic actor, and I love working with Alex, and I don't get to do it as much as I would love to. You never know whether they'll stick Eric and Bill in bed together. I don't know, but here's hoping."
And actor Jared Leto is helping to raise money for the gay rights group FAIR, Freedom, Action, Inclusion, Rights, by taking part in an auction of celebrity-signed prints of artist Shepard Fairey's Defend Equality, Love Unites poster. Others taking part include Scarlett Johansson, Kim Kardashian, and talk show host Chelsea Handler, who wrote, "To my gays, thank you for being gay."
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Want to take your tennis game to the next level? Midtown Tennis Club wants to send you back to school for its patented instruction program, Tennis Schools. Whether you're a beginner or advanced intermediate, Tennis Schools has a program to fit your game. Enrollment in Tennis Schools starts at only $105 and includes a four-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, including access to Midtown's fitness center, practice lanes, and locker rooms, as well as invitations to two tennis parties and instructions from the country's best pros, all starting at $105. That's less than $30 per lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago and just click on the Tennis Schools link. Who said school can't be fun?
I'm here with a cast member of Mel Brooks' brand new Broadway musical, Young Frankenstein.
Nah.
Well, first of all, may I just say that you look fabulous. Mel Brooks' last show, The Producers, was a smash hit on Broadway and won a record 12 Tony Awards.
Mm-hmm.
This must be a huge break for you.
Nah.
Can you give us just a little taste of the show?
Blurry!
Lovely. Now, is it true you make fierce love to Dr. Frankenstein's fiancée, Elizabeth? I see. So tell me, sir, what do you do to prepare for a show? Any special routines? Do you stretch and warm up? Get in touch with your character? Maybe relax, meditate, light a few candles? Skip the candles.
The classic Mel Brooks movie is alive and headed to the Cadillac Palace Theater. Young Frankenstein, November 3rd through December 13th. For tickets, call 800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 19th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Catch the new comedy critics are calling a rowdy tribute. Plans 1 through 8 from Outer Space by New Millennium Theater Company, playing Friday and Saturday nights through October 31st at the National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Aliens are taking over the Earth, one plan at a time. For tickets, visit nmtchicago.org.
Writers Theater presents Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, directed by artistic director Michael Halberstam. Hamlet, Shakespeare's greatest drama, is retold from the perspective of his schoolmates. Experience the original breakout hit from four-time Tony Award winner Tom Stoppard. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today by logging on to writerstheater.org.
About Face Theater presents the XYZ Festival of New Works, now through November 7th at venues all over Chicago. Festival productions include The Flowers by Obie Award-winning playwright Adam Bach and Let Them Eat Cake by legendary performance artists Holly Hughes and Megan Carney. Get tickets and information for the XYZ Festival at aboutfacetheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and I'm on Windy City Queercast.
Bad when you do that, but you don't care. Holding out exactly what I want, but you won't.
There's a new documentary that explores one woman's quest to confront the 7 Bible passages often used to condemn homosexuality and justify marriage discrimination. Fish Out of Water has been a long journey for writer-director Kai Dickens, and what started as an idea after coming out at her Southern University led to a cross-country trip around the U.S. to explore the issue of Christianity and homosexuality, and it all culminated in California at the time of the crushing vote on Proposition 8 at last year's election. And it's really exciting to have Kai here because I've had a chance to see the film. And those of you in Chicago will have an opportunity to see the film at Reeling coming up here in November. And it'll also hopefully be coming to a city near you if you're not in the Chicago area. Hey, Kai, how are you?
Hey, Amy, I'm great. How are you?
I am. Congratulations. Just congratulations on this film.
Thank you.
I want to have fun. It has been a long journey. I want to have full disclosure with all of the podcast listeners that you and I met very shortly after you moved to Chicago. I don't remember what year that was. What year was that?
That was in 2000. It was, yeah, right the year I graduated from Vanderbilt. So
yeah. And one of your friends from college was the niece of my ex-girlfriend. And so you and I had an opportunity to meet. And I remember us having a very long conversation about being Southern women and about Christianity and being lesbian and coming out in the South. And at that time, you told me I want to make this movie.
Uh-huh.
So you were a woman with a mission as soon as you came to Chicago. Was this something you hit the ground running with at that time?
No, you know, the movie does start with my coming out experience at Vanderbilt. And that was the first time when I decided I needed to make a film because, you know, as you know, after seeing the film, that experience was pretty tumultuous, coming out in the Bible Belt to a lot of friends who had grown up in very conservative Christian households and looking around to try to understand how to kind of beat back the Bible abuse that they were, you know, dishing out. There weren't any resources I could find to really inform dialogue about homosexuality and religion. So at that point, I knew I wanted to make a film. However, it was too soon right after graduating. I didn't feel comfortable at all in the gay community yet, and I knew I had to make, you know, relationships and find my own footing and placement in that community. And in addition, I really wanted to kind of grow as a filmmaker first before undertaking this. So I kind of waited till the timing was right in both those worlds for me, and when I felt confident in all those areas is when I really started to approach the film full throttle.
So what was your family's reaction to your coming out?
You know, my family was very supportive. My dad was agnostic, so in terms of religion, that didn't inform his opinion about myself being gay at all. And he actually cried when I came out because he was so upset that I kept something hidden from him for so long. Mm-hmm. And he was super supportive. And, you know, my mom, it took her a year, I think, to get comfortable with the idea. I was her only daughter, that I was gay. But overall, they've been super supportive. And now they've been extremely supportive, especially surrounding the film and, the journey of making it. So my family's been great.
And so it was really more your peer group that influenced the need to identify, you know, what is at the root of what is so upsetting and so controversial around Christianity and homosexuality.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know if that's a pretty unique experience, because normally what you hear from people is that they've endured some sort of painful experience with a family member or a very close, you know, person in their close clan who's really, fed religiously fueled discrimination at them, and that's been a source of their trauma in trying to reconcile their faith and sexuality. But yeah, for me, it was more feeling very close to my friends at school in the South and coming out and having these people that were very close all of a sudden really turn in terms of what they felt about me and felt about me, just thinking that I was a heathen and that I was going down this path and I needed to convert. And it was pretty overwhelming because I didn't know how to fight back. I didn't know how to explain why this felt natural and normal to me, and mm-hmm. and looking for ways to kind of combat, you know, what I've named now as Bible abuse was the starting point for the film. So
Yeah, I always heard you never thump with a thumper, and
yeah.
because you can't win. And and my story, though similar to yours, you know, my father was actually very religious, and you know, I was very much met with the hate the sin, love the sinner. And it's interesting because I want to give him this film now, even though my father has totally transformed. But you know, he went straight to the Bible and kind of did in his own path, his own spiritual path, kind of some of what you did. So like, how do I defend my child and it not conflict with my faith? So the structure of this film is that you really just go head on with these verses. What are some of these verses that have been used to Bible abuse, as you called it, GLBT people?
Well, there's four in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament, and there's seven altogether that are widely agreed upon to be the seven clobber passages. And most of them people have heard, and we do that in the film. We put them in layman's terms in the way that, you know, this is the verse used to condemn gay marriage, or this is the verse used to say that gays are natural, or this is the verse used to say that gays are sinners and are going to hell. So, you know, the most common, of course, that people know are the Adam and Eve creation story. And then, of course, there's Sodom and Gomorrah, which is in Genesis, and the Leviticus verses, which deal with a man laying with another man. And then when you get into the New Testament, you have a verse in Romans, which talks about homosexuality being unnatural. And then one in both Timothy and Corinthians that are very similar in the fact that they say that, you know, homosexuality is sinful and gay and lesbians are going to hell. So
right. And in dealing with these verses, you seem to go to religious experts, but then you also have gone to just lay people, everyday folks, around their experience on being GLBT and being raised in some sort of Judeo-Christian home. Now, when you're talking with these religious leaders, did you have, I mean, you have various points of view. You go as far as having Fred Phelps in the film on one side, and you have what I would say like academics, and then you have like the activists like Reverend Greg Dell, who people probably know from Chicago. Did you have a set series of questions? Did you ask these people to all speak on those verses, or did you approach each person differently?
You know, yes, I did have a set list of questions, which was for each person to comment on the seven verses. But then, all these different interviewees had a certain set of experience that were unique to them, so I asked them about their experiences as individuals as well. And I think that helped kind of complete the picture, because it's such a, there's so many wide varieties of experiences dealing with homosexuality and religion, so we tried to get, you know, cast the net as wide as we could and ask as many questions of these people and whittle that down in the post-production process. So,
It's a passionate conversation. Were you ever met with something that was shocking to you, the amount of passion or energy, or I'm using those words politely, anger that came up?
Yes, but I don't think it'd be where people would tend to think it would come from. There was a lot more, there have been a lot more passionate, loving emails and encouraging letters and that sort of thing, much more so than hateful ones. And when talking to the more hateful ministers, we interviewed a few, but only two made it into the film. Those discussions weren't as volatile as you'd think. We tried to connect as human beings first and really talk. You know, I mean, that was kind of my approach, was to go in there and talk about their families and talk about our similarities, and then just try to keep it as an academic discussion around homosexuality. Dealing with the Phelps family was a little different. That was an experience in and of itself. But it, you know, in terms of passionate, passionate, painful experiences, there haven't been too many. We're screening the film in Arkansas this upcoming Thursday at the Hot Springs Documentary Festival. And I did have a conversation with the festival director that they are expecting picketers, and the KKK is based in Arkansas, and they're expecting some protests outside of the film. And that's going to be interesting, because so far we've only screened in on the coast, you know, in California and in New England. And over the next week is when we actually start plowing into the south. We're going to Kansas and to Arkansas, and that's going to be different. And I kind of look forward to having that dialogue.
Now, did the Fred Phelps family immediately grant your request for an interview?
Yes, and I think that family loves being on camera.
Uh-huh.
They love being out there and having their voices heard. So nailing down the Phelps interview was a pretty easy task.
Yeah. Yeah, they're nothing if not publicity whores. I don't know where that Bible verse is, but they're
right.
Nothing if
yeah.
not that.
Exactly.
So how did you find just your everyday people to interview about their experiences around being GLBT and how that affected them based on their religious upbringing?
Yeah, and just, so the listeners know, one of the things we do in the film is interview LGBT community members regarding their experiences around faith and sexuality. And what we did is we just did a call for interviews and we posted things all over the internet as well as at, community centers and healthcare facilities, and had one weekend where we interviewed well over 200 people from mainly Chicago. So there'll be many people from Chicago that people will recognize at the Chicago screening of the film. But people came from all over the Midwest. We had homeless folks. It was absolutely unbelievable. And we were thinking we might do 30, 40 interviews over the weekend. And it ended up being, 9 a.m. the doorbell started ringing. And each night we went to about 3, 4 in the morning. So it was unbelievable.
Now, I am assuming you obviously entered this documentary with your own experience, which you've told us a little bit about. But had you done the research so when you were going to these religious experts that you kind of knew the historical context of these 7 Bible verses, or were you learning as you were going along and making the film?
Well, no, I think the first 2 or 3 years after graduating from college, I spent researching and just reading as much as I could and trying to become as informed as possible on the Bible and the Bible stance on homosexuality. And then after having that research, that's when I started interviewing folks. And of course I learned a lot along the way and more questions would come after different interviews because I just became more informed about different angles and different ideas surrounding these verses. So it definitely was a process, but there's a lot of research that went in on the front end.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be remiss if I didn't say that, it's an amazing team that you pulled in for this film. And Golden Globe singer-songwriter Kaki King scored the entire film. She'd just come off working on Into the Wild with Eddie Vedder and Sean Penn. How did she get involved with this project?
Well, Kaki was the favorite musician of one of our producers, Kristen Kaza, and she loved Kaki's music. So Kristen told me that she wanted her to do the score, and I was open to that. I thought that sounded great, and Kristen had played some of the music. And, we just called her manager and said, listen, when she's playing in town, can we come talk to her? And we went and met up with her at the Empty Bible and showed her the trailer and had a really fun, awesome conversation with her and her bandmates about these issues in her, in the green room before the show. And it turned out that Kaki was raised in the South and, of course, had been met with a lot of these same issues, a lot of, Bible abuse and discrimination centering around faith. So it was a personal thing for her as well, and she was so open and excited to do the project. So it was just luck, and really, in terms of our entire team, that's how this film came to be. We were working on a very low budget, but we found people who either had personal experience with this issue or just felt very compelled to make something to kind of combat this issue. And in doing so, we had a lot of people that were very dedicated and very passionate and very talented, which made this a possibility on our small budget.
Now, it's a documentary-style film, but one of the wonderful elements is that you have an enormous use of animation in the film, which to me, as a viewer and watching it, it took kind of some of the heat off the conversation in kind of a lovely way. It didn't dumb it down at all, but just kind of, took out the sting. It took out something that could seem, it was a very welcoming, warm kind of way for people to sit down and talk about something that's kind of hot and heated and conflicting and all of that. How did the idea for animation come, and how did you find the right person to bring that element to life for you?
Well, from the get-go, that was my greatest challenge, is how do I make this film something that people want to watch and that feels accessible and non-threatening? And the number one way I could think of was animation. You know, everyone grew up watching cartoons on Saturday morning. It's just something that's relatable and enjoyable to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you have a visual representation of these Bible verses, when you're watching a cartoon of the Sodom and Gomorrah story take place, or you're watching a cartoon of what happened in this epic Roman story, which is where we get the idea that homosexuality is unnatural, it becomes so much more clear and visible and understandable. So that was essential to make this film, you know, readily available to all sorts of different people. And in terms of finding animators, I started interviewing students actually from Columbia College and found a great duo, an illustrator that I loved. I saw his art in an art show and interviewed him, and he, you know, his drawings were great, but he didn't know how to animate. So he knew a guy that could make the pictures move, so to speak. And mm-hmm. So I worked with them, and Kyle would draw pictures and drawings, and we'd work on getting the images just right, and then we'd bring them to Alan, who's super talented and made, you know, these images just come to life in a really fun way. So
yeah, they have such life. They really reminded me. I mean, they become almost iconic halfway through the film. And what I really was reminded of is like the Schoolhouse Rock way of teaching that is clever and sophisticated for adults, but that felt like you could be showing this film to younger people as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that was our goal, to make this, you know, I think there's only a certain segment that feels comfortable talking about homosexuality or religion, or even wants to. It can feel very dull and dusty and boring. So with animation and also having a cartoon narrator walking people through the story, we're hoping to open up the conversation to young people, people who have no idea about religion, people who don't care or are invested in the LGBT community, just so it could be a film that can hopefully do some good by reaching a wide sweep of the population.
Talk to me about Proposition 8 and what that day, that day's impact had on the film.
Proposition 8 was huge, and there's a couple of reasons why. You know, I've been working on the film for about 2 years, and even though I had been traveling around talking to LGBT folks around the country and knowing this issue was still huge, it was still tearing apart communities and families and individuals, when you go back to the urban areas, it just felt like there was kind of an apathy, like, oh, we're way past this, and this doesn't really matter anymore. And Proposition 8 kind of put this entire subject back on the table for the nation. And we saw that the most liberal state in the country, you know, had just been completely, you know, overcome by discrimination that truly was fueled by the Bible. And watching the apathy kind of dissipate in the gay community and people coming out and marching and galvanizing and it was unbelievable, and we were in post-production at the time, and we just took advantage of it, and it was unbelievable to go to the march. I don't know if you were there, the one in Chicago.
Yeah, I was. When we walked down Michigan Avenue, we took it all over. And, yeah.
Right, exactly, and there's great footage of that in the film, as well as Prop 8 protests from around the country, and you know, it's amazing for two reasons. One, I think it really put the conversation back on the table for our community, and to say, finally, you know, we're going to stand up. We're not going to be apathetic anymore and demand our rights. And for the film, it just put this entire, the issue of homosexuality and religion back in the public sphere, and made the point that we were making the film really, really, really just completely relevant again. So,
yeah, it seems to me that, you know, with this film and in this moment and what we've just come off the heels of all these promises from Obama, you know, that there is an urgency again within the GLBT community. And it's so interesting that to me, I mean, this has really been a part of the work I've done for 10 years in gay radio, is that I have always felt like it has been clouded behind a religious issue that I don't even believe the religious right believes anymore. It's just the loudest, and they think the sharpest blow, the most divisive blow. And so I think what's great about your film is that you're exposing that. You're exposing that it's a house of cards. It's not really built on anything foundational. And we have to get at what's the deeper discrimination that's actually going on here, which is, to me, on a lot of different levels, economic and others. But I loved the moment, and I assume that you flew to Massachusetts when the woman minister was marrying two men in Massachusetts. And she talked about that moment in history that she felt she had witnessed in her church. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because obviously Massachusetts was kind of our first success story of bringing this into a religious sphere.
Sure. And actually what's interesting is that I wasn't there for that. Just so the listeners know, there's a scene in the film that covers the first gay marriage that took place legally in this country, in Massachusetts. And one of the things we had to do with this movie, which ended up being really fun and made it a more national discussion, is we found contributors, photographers and videographers from all over the country who've been covering this issue. And I wasn't there for the first gay wedding, but I reached out to videographers in Massachusetts who were. Mm-hmm. And through that was able to get some of their footage donated. And, you know, and that same approach really followed through with a lot of the film because, you know, as you'll remember, there's a lot of images and video of LGBT weddings and, you know, just families and that sort of thing. And that was made possible by people all over the country donating their footage. So,
yeah. Well, it's really an amazing film. People are going to have an opportunity to see it here in Chicago as Fish Out of Water is playing the Chicago Gay and Lesbian Film Festival Reeling. It's playing on Sunday, November 8th at the Music Box Theater. And if you want information on Fish Out of Water and all the films coming to Chicago, you can visit reelingfilmfestival.org. We'll have that linked in our notes. But if you're not in the Chicago area, perhaps you live in Arkansas, or as Kai just said, the film is coming now to other states and areas of the U.S., you can visit their website, their official website, fishoutofwaterfilm.com, and we will have that linked as well. What's the intent? I mean, is this going to go to video? Is there an opportunity to get this into the hands of educators, Kai?
Yeah, well, right now we are touring the festival circuit. And as you said, next Thursday we'll be at the Hot Springs, but we'll also be having a screening this upcoming week at the Tallgrass Film Festival in Topeka, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And if people want to go to our website, there's a quick button where people can join, become our Facebook friend, or follow us on Twitter. And that's the quickest way to find out about our screenings.
Great.
But we also, you know, excitingly just did secure distribution. So the film will be out on DVD, I think next May. And it will be available on Netflix and Amazon.com and via downloading to iTunes and that sort of thing. And if people want, there is a link on our website that says see the film, and that will let people know if they join the mailing list, it will let people know the second the DVD is released. So
excellent. Yeah. And do you see yourself as a documentary filmmaker? I mean, is this a style that you want to continue, or is this a story that you just needed to tell and this was the best way to tell it?
No, I definitely, you know, this is a career for me, and I've, you know, been working in film for the past, you know, ever since I started working. So there's a couple of documentaries I want to pursue next. I just want to make sure that to give Fish Out of Water the attention and legs it needs to really run its full course. So I'm dedicated to taking this around the country for the next year. And just a fun side note, we're doing a small town tour throughout the South next summer called the Great American Outing, where we're renting a veggie van and going to 15 cities all across the Deep South and just having free screenings. And we're hoping to have panels and discussions about the film. So
count me in for a panel anywhere, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia. I got friends. I can sleep it. I don't even need accommodations.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll send you the info.
That'll be great. Everybody, I hope you got to see this film. It is really a fantastic film and a great effort from a lot of Chicago artists. And definitely check it out as one of the centerpiece documentary film of the festival for Reeling this year in Chicago. So, Kai, good luck with the tour.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And everybody follow on Twitter or follow on Facebook so you can find out when Fish Out of Water is coming to you.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. So I hope everybody has a good week and a good weekend. I'm heading out of town for the weekend, and I'm a little excited about that. I'm going to be going up to the Catskills of New York. So I'll be back with you next week. Just a little teaser. I'm trying real hard, guys, to get the hunky, hunky, hunky Oh, I don't know. I don't even want to know if I want to tell you who it's going to be, because if I don't get him, you'll be so, so sad. So just suffice it to say that I have an uber hunk, an uber gay hunk that I am trying to get on the podcast. And so I am really working hard to make that happen. Also, Richard Knight Jr. is going to have a new hot review next week for us. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. And Sin and Jack are back with By the Way. So I hope you're having a great day. Thanks for letting me fly solo and be a little bit on my spiritual soapbox with Kai. And I hope that you have a fantastic day or night whenever you're listening to this podcast. We appreciate you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.